We hear again from the appointed gospel reading of Mark 6. And she went out and said to her mother, "For what should I ask?" And she said, "The head of John the Baptist." And she came in immediately with haste to the king and asked, saying, "I want you to give me at once the head of John the Baptist on a platter." And the king was exceedingly sorry because of his oaths, and his guest, he did not want to break his word to her. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in the prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. In the name of Jesus. We hear the conversation of our world. There is another conversation that we must hear. The conversation of our world: power is praised and natural law is rejected. What is natural law? It's simple. It's based on what is good and beneficial for humanity. Natural law gives us the protection of human life, including the life of the most vulnerable. Natural law speaks of what is healthy and beneficial for humans, and not just individuals, but of society. So it speaks of not just the protection of human life, but also the procreation of human life. That is, it gives us respect for our neighbor and also following generations. So it gives us the concern that babies are protected, and this means that mothers with child and children in the womb are honored. Natural law gives us the concern that private property is upheld, for it is good for a person to be able to build a house for the safety of family, and good to be able to engage in agriculture and business and contracts and all the rest to supply the needs of the family without fear of thievery or confiscation. In short, natural law gives us the appreciation for what families need for safety and health in order to bring forth the next generation and the following ones. And this means that the marriage of man and woman, the institution of family, the protection of home and property and wealth, the respect for the neighbor's name and reputation is upheld and extolled. It doesn't then take much for us to see that for the Christian, while it may be called natural law by the philosophers, for the Christian it's really nothing other than the Ten Commandments. The conversation of our world. In this conversation, we see natural law disparaged. In our world's conversation, the marriage of man and woman is twisted and perverted into things which should not even be said to children. The weak and vulnerable are in jeopardy. The church is told to have no voice, and in some places, even persecuted. Such that in the last month, we hear the news that in Canada, over 20 churches have been burned to the ground. And hearing this, the head of the British Columbia Civil Leaders Association tweeted out, "Burn it all down." There is another conversation. Not this one of the Canadian officials saying, "Burn it all down," but another conversation for us and our families to hear. When King Herod executed the prophet John the Baptist, there was another voice for the church. That's John's disciples and Jesus' disciples. There was another voice for the church to hear other than the voice of the sinful world. They heard the voice of the sinful world, that's for sure. That's the voice of Herod. King Herod was open and unrepentant in his adultery. He had over 10 wives, including taking his brother's wife. His respect for the institution of the marriage of man and woman It rivals what we see in our world today. King Herod was also an open and unrepentant murderer. He had his own two sons strangled. Herod's father, Herod the Great, we remember him because he had made sure that all the baby boys of Bethlehem were murdered back when Jesus was born. So when Herod murdered John the Baptist, the church heard the voice of the world loud and clear. It was Herod killing the weak and vulnerable, including the prophet John, Mark 6:29. And immediately the king sent an executioner with orders to bring John's head. He went and beheaded him in prison and brought his head on a platter and gave it to the girl, and the girl gave it to her mother. When his disciples heard of it, they came and took his body and laid it in a tomb. They heard the voice of the sinful world, but then they heard the other conversation, the conversation of heaven. Because when you let a body down into the ground, you turn to Scripture and you hear the voice of God the Father who created this body and of God the Son who with his blood redeemed this body and of God the Holy Spirit who in baptism sanctified this body. And hearing the words of life, you then commend the Christian brother or sister to the eternal care of the God of all life. For John the Baptist, when he was killed, Jesus had, of course, not yet died on the cross. But John, having baptized Jesus some 30 years before, he had already proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God who is taking away the sins of the world. And John the Baptist, when he baptized Jesus, had seen the Holy Spirit come down upon Jesus, and he heard the Father in heaven say, "You are my beloved Son, in whom I am fully pleased." Mark 1:11. So those disciples who let the body of John down into the ground, even while they were in the midst of death, they heard the conversation of heaven. While the conversation of our world is one seeking power, of controlling people, of depreciating family and the things of natural law, it is a conversation of power and death. While that's true, the conversation in heaven is one of giving gifts to people, of upholding families and protecting life. It is a conversation of giving one's life as a gift in service to neighbor and upholding families and protecting life. Those laying John's body into the tomb were given to know then of the deliberations of the heavenly council. This is the conversation that the Apostle Paul later reveals in his letter to the church in Ephesus. This is the heavenly council where God the Father has chosen us in Christ from even before the foundation of the world. Ephesians 1:3. Paul writes, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace." In this conversation of the heavenly courtroom, Paul lets us know that we are declared holy and blameless by no worthiness of our own, but because God the Father in love makes a decree. He predestined us for adoption through his Son, Jesus Christ, and this was not according to any decision we made or will make, not according to any choice of our own hearts, but according to the purpose, Paul says, of God's will, of his heart, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in his beloved Son. Ephesians 1:6. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit have been in conversation with one another since the foundation of the world. That's how they created the world. Throughout the generations, the angels and archangels have witnessed this conversation. It has been revealed to the prophets, and the prophets were sent forth to reveal it to sinners whom God loves and in his grace has predestined to life. In our own generation, and in all the generations following the cross, it is now delivered to us, not by the word of a prophet, for Jesus was the last one in the office of prophet, but it is delivered to us, as Paul says, in the preaching of the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, so that we are sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, Ephesians 1:13. Look around. Are we a little fearful? Seeing the diseased conversation of our world, seeing children sometimes taught a most unhealthy view of life, seeing marriage deformed into something unholy, seeing churches burned to the ground in Canada in the persecution of Christians in other parts of the world, seeing the world's conversation, are we a little fearful? Then we hear our Lord's conversation, the conversation of life, of the gifts of creation and the institution of marriage and family, the conversation of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit in heaven, revealed to us on earth in the gospel. Hearing this conversation, fear is chased away by faith, which is a gift, not by our works, but of God's grace. For in him, in Jesus, who makes us children of his Father, and who sends forth to us the Holy Spirit in the word of gospel, in Jesus we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of all our sins, according to the riches of his grace. Do we want to hear this conversation of heaven, this conversation of life? It is this. Your sin is forgiven. Your life is atoned for by the holy blood. This is the gospel, Paul says, of your salvation, so that you have faith in him. For in baptism he has sealed you with the promised Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, amen.